This is attorney David Famininio. The best way to protect ourselves from an accident is to be informed. That's why we started David's Driving Edge, to provide tips and resources to keep us all safe on the road. Go to getdavidgetpaid.com/drivingedge for more information.
I have to have X amount of streaming services. I have to have this package. I have to pay for this. I have to do that. Okay. The NFL, it's getting worse. Because now what they're doing is they're taking more and more games out of the 1 and 4 p.m. window on Sunday, and they're making them standalones. Standalones you have to pay for. And I'm telling you what's coming. You're going to see YouTube or Amazon or Netflix. You're going to see them make a run at the Sunday games, and they're going to rip the games away from either Fox or CBS. And if you don't believe me, just go look at the financials of these companies. Legacy Media has a tenth of the financial wherewithal of the new wave powerhouses like Netflix and Amazon Prime. All right. The cost of watching games at home. That's one. Two, the cost of going to games. Now, teams have businesses to operate. There is no issue with that. However, whether it's the Lions, whose ticket prices basically have just gone through the roof in a two-year span, mind you, without winning a Super Bowl or even getting there, but the average guy can't afford to go to a Lions game. Prices to go to collegiate games are ridiculous. The idea that anyone would pay a couple $100 to have 6 inches of seat at the Big House or watch whatever dreadful product Michigan State puts out there, I wish you good luck. But look at tickets overall. Hell, NBA Summer League. You have Cooper Flagg's debut against Bronny James. The cheapest ticket to get in the house is $2,500. What? Now, it's not the same thing, but like, look what's happened with concerts. Ticket pricing. So, all right. Cost of going to a game to watch it is two. Three is player salary. Now, I usually don't make much of an issue over this. You're worth what someone pays you. These guys are the best at what they do in the world. They have limited earning power, especially football players. You're often retired before your 30th birthday. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's contract really, I don't want to say staggered me, but it hit different. And it was the idea of he's going to make $71 million a year. NBA players are lucky if they play 70 games. The idea of a player making $1 million a game, quarter million a quarter, it kind of felt like we've hit cabin pressure. I have said a lot of this too, and I'm not asking you to agree or feel any type of way. You know how I feel about NIL. When you have role players in college basketball, and I'm not going to say some of the names, but yes, they play in this state. But when you got an absolute role player making the better part of $500,000 a year, something's wrong. Read an article the other day, Texas Tech paid $5 million for a high school tackle. Do you understand that high school offensive line prospects, 99 out of 100 don't play their first year? I'd say 75 out of 100 don't play by year two. You really need 3 years in a program. You got to be a redshirt sophomore to get your body right, mature, scheme, be ready to play. You pay $5 million for high school. Guys ain't been to prom. So here are your three things. One, both, all, neither. Where are you at with sports from a relational standpoint? Because the cost of watching it at home, I think, is getting obscene. The cost of going to the games, it's been obscene, but it's only getting worse. It really is. And then there's the player salaries. Now, if you were turned off by the pros in the past, you had the safe haven of college. No more. I mean, again, the idea, look at my school. Michigan State can't even make a bowl game and our quarterback's making seven figures. Huh? And I don't mean any disrespect, and I'm not mad at Aiden Childs' family. Get the money if someone's offering it. It doesn't mean I have to vibe with that. I don't have to be excited about that. I don't begrudge Bryce Underwood. Man, if somebody's willing to pay you that money, God bless. Just be smart with it. Set you and your family up for life. But I don't have to be okay with or be pumped up about high school quarterback getting an alleged, what, $15 million? Come on, man. You're making more money than guys getting drafted in the NFL. That's backwards. So I want to just get an idea where you're at. You're driving home from work. Tiger baseball's on tonight. What is the money doing to your fandom? And if you're bothered by none of it, I'm not mad at you in the least. I'm not. It's a question. I'm bothered by all of it, quite honestly. Now, the reason the at-home stuff doesn't bother me a lot more is, look, this is what I do for a living. I'm not going to cry about it. I mean, it's like being a carpenter and you cry about having to buy tools. I mean, it's just a part of the deal. I'm a painter. I need paintbrushes and rollers. You get my point. But I understand for the average guy, this isn't your job. You don't want watching sports to be a job. You bust your ass at a job you likely hate. You got to take care of your family. You got limited time. You want to pop the TV on, watch sports, and not get bled dry. Totally get that. The going to games thing bothers me, even though I don't like going to games, if that makes any sense to you. Because it's so over the top, I don't even understand how you have fun anymore. How is it fun to take a family of four to a Lions game and you're going to be $1,000 deep? That's not fun. Like I kind of view it like it's the Disneyization of sports. Like Disney was this American ideal that you would take your family to Disney. Now you need a home equity line of credit to take a family of four to Disney. I've never been to Disney. I mean, there was no amount of affordability. We were never going to afford Disney. My point is now I don't know how anyone's doing it. They're blowing $20,000 to go to Disney. The point is, okay, going to games. The NIL and then pro player salaries, it's starting to bother me. And that's a weird thing for me because I'm very pro player. And I don't like defending owners. I don't like siding with owners. But when you see, great example. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is one of, if not the best quarterback I've ever watched. But $500 million? And then look what's happening today, by the way. I'm not leading the charge on this, nor am I in a position to do so. But like pictures of him being out of shape have surfaced. And it's like, ultimately, if he plays well, who cares? But I kind of get some of the reaction. Like, dude, you're getting paid $500 million. Your body's your business. You shouldn't look like Al Bundy. Now, while I'm not leading that charge, I'm not going to go crazy that people are making something of it, right? Like we all laughed at Eli Manning or Tom Brady. I don't think it's that different. Again, performance is all I care about. You don't need to look like a Greek god if you're putting up the numbers. Hey, man, do your thing.
I mean, Tom Brady never looked amazing, right?
Tom Brady looks better now than he did at 21.
Correct.
I got to understand what breakfast cereal he's eating. The point I'm making is this. There are three price points in sports. And look, the money is the money. I'm not even bringing up gambling's effect on sport because I do think it's turning people off, myself included. No, I don't need sideline reporter for the Thunder offering their live SGP. I'm just watching a game. I don't need the odds of SGA passing gas on his next trip down the floor, set at plus 310. I don't need it. It's too much. Too much of too much. But I'll stick to the original stuff. Cost at home, cost of going, and what players are getting. We haven't even gotten to the point where, look, if you're not aware of it, it's probably for the best. But what the Lakers just did, what the Giants just did, what teams are doing where they're selling out to private equity and selling slices of the team to private equity, and the valuations, you're going, let me get this straight. Team X is valuated at $9 billion, but you want public money to redo your stadium? Wait a second. I mean, you're looking in the NHL right now, no slander, but the idea that any hockey team is worth $1 billion is laughable. Newsflash, about 14 of them are valued at $1 billion or more. The Red Wings are about 2.5. They come in about number 7 or 8. That's an absurdity. No slander, no disrespect. So, does one of these bug you? Multiple, all, or is it none? You just say, la, la, la. There's nothing I can do about it. 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your phone calls. David, it's your topic. I'd like to hear from you on it as well. And Kenny, too, because I think there's something for everybody in this. One piece of slander before we get to David, some ticket texts and your phone calls. Did you see at Big 12 Media Days, Scott Frost? Oh, boy. He was asked a very good question, something we'll never get from local media to Sharon Moore. But my point is, he was asked, what did you learn about your time at Nebraska? Scott Frost deadpanned, and he goes, to not take the wrong job. Oh, boy. Oh, man. How do you really feel? Okay, then.
Yikes. I absolutely love it because he played there. He played at Nebraska.
Dude, okay then. Yeah, they won't be welcoming you back. David, your thoughts, obviously, you can do the ticket text first if you want, but this was your baby. I love the topic. And I on a certain level, I understand people being bothered by all three. I'm not demanding you be bothered, and I'm unbothered if you're unbothered. I'd say two of the three for me. I'm bugged. I'm very bothered by what it's costing the average fan to just go to their favorite stadium. I mean, it's just, it's approaching like extortion for the average dad to take his kids for a lot of sports. You know, you'll always be able to, you know, all right, hey, I got a day game on a Thursday. It's baseball. Baseball gives you your best shot, right? But man, try to take your kid to a Wings game or a Pistons game or football, forget it. And look, the player money thing, yeah, I'm far more bothered collegiately right now. I mean, this idea we're just turning these players into victims, it's like, stop, cut it out. But David, go ahead.
Yeah, see, I've never had a problem with the amount of money the players make because if they're willing to pay it, it is what it is. You deserve that money. Most times you deserve that money.
So number three, unbothered.
Unbothered by that. I am more bothered by the price of going to a game. More bothered by that because you're right. It's ridiculous. It is a mortgage payment to take my kids, go eat, maybe get a jerk. All of this stuff that goes with going to a game, that's a lot. But the problem I have the most is
the viewing
at home. And here's why. Because growing up, there was a thing called Pass Sports in this area.
Oh, this is midnight. This predates my arrival.
Correct. And there were so many times where, no, I didn't have that in my house. You know why? Because we couldn't afford that. So I couldn't watch the Tigers. I know they were bad. I get it. But I couldn't watch the Tigers.
That was the Kamara Bartee era.
Yes. I couldn't watch my team. And that's what I don't want. And it's happening all over again on a bigger scale. There are so many people in the United States that became a fan of the Steelers and the Cowboys, the Braves to another extent, the Cubs, because they were able to watch it on TV. They were able to turn on the TV and there was Terry Bradshaw. There was the Dallas Cowboys and Deion Sanders and company. Now we can't do that. What makes me, and it scares me because I know it's happening soon, is that very soon there'll be a Stanley Cup final, there'll be a World Series, there'll be a Super Bowl
pay-per-view
on Amazon or something like that, and you will not be able to watch your team.
I think that
should be accessible to everyone.
I could see a standalone Super Bowl, almost pay-per-view, like a boxing match.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see it. And honestly, like, truthfully, I think it feels like an invasion of our privacy. Because, now see, this is why I always laughed at the people who are like, I'm cutting the cord. No, you're not. Well, you think the network's going to let you get away with that? You think they're not going to catch up? So all that cutting the cord did was now it's more fragmented, it's more expensive, And now you could have cut the cord. You're spending more than if you had just stayed with cable. Yes, Kenneth.
How long until we see a Super Bowl on Netflix? Live streaming on Netflix.
5 years.
Live streaming on Prime. I don't even think it's that long.
You know what, Kenny?
The second that deal is up.
Well, there's the key. I have to check on when that is up.
Yeah, whenever that deal is up, I feel like that's the next step.
Your point is absolutely well I'm not arguing. Yes.
But I'll tell you when the deal's up, because I saw something about the NFL yesterday. Their deal, their TV deal is up 29/30. But CBS, apparently, their parent, Paramount or whatever, is being sold to another company. Now, opens up their ability to now negotiate TV deals earlier than that, which means they will maybe not be on CBS anymore. They're going to be on something else.
I stand by it. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It wouldn't be the first, won't be the last. I think we're going to lose the 1 p.m. or 4 p.m. window to one of those services. Amazon Prime, Netflix, something like that. The money, they have deeper pockets, and the money's wrecked everything. Look what it's done to college football. Not just in the NIL stuff, but money's what broke up the conferences. Money is destroyed. You did the rivalry thing yesterday. How many of those rivalries don't exist anymore, but yet you're asking me to rank them? It's money. Let's go to the people, see what everybody's got to say. Let's go to John 97.1. Johnny, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, John. What's up?
Hey, my thing is, it's killing the average fan. Because remember, we used to have TV free on Channel 4, Bless You Boys, Blaha on Channel 50. Now, I haven't seen a Pistons game in years because I'm not buying the extra services to, and it's killing the average fan that can't buy the local team. I'm not thinking more international or American, but I'm thinking more your local teams are suffering. Your local fans are more suffering.
So you're now at home. You're bothered. That checks one box. Cost of going to games, I assume, bothers you as well, correct?
Well, not really, because if you go every now and then, you budget for it, you know. So, you know, that's like an entertainment expense. So, not really. It's more at home, and you can't follow them like you used to. Like, the Tigers on a roll, but who knows it, because you can't watch Channel 4 like you used to. You can't watch Channel 50 like when the Pistons went on their run. You couldn't watch it. You couldn't watch Year Blaha. You couldn't watch Greg Kelsey. You know, you couldn't do none of that unless you bought all these expensive packages.
Yeah, John, I don't have the answers. I do wonder if we're at a bit of a crossroads, though. I mean, specific to college football, look at the amount of services you need to watch games. And listen, I'm not by. There's no tiny violin. Like, this is what I do for a living. It's fine. But do I like it? No, I'd be lying to you if I'm like, no, this was wonderful. I'll leave that to Rico. Middle name, Stream. Beard. It's just not for me. Oh, great. Now I'm going to watch MSU lose by 50 on Peacock. Awesome. Now I'm like locked in a room watching this. I can't get out. It's even worse. It's like punishment. You want to change the channel? You can't. No. Awful. We'll get more of your phone calls. I want to hear the ticket texters as well. I assume we got a ton of those coming through. Don't make a move. 97.1. David, a couple ticket texts. We'll go right to the phones. It is the crossroads of sports. The cost of watching games, it's through the roof. We've given you some of the numbers. The cost of going to games, self-explanatory. We've lost cabin pressure post-COVID. Then there's this new angle. NIL is not only here to stay, but getting more egregious, but also professionally, where I normally don't care much what athletes get. Holy hell. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, $71 million per. You're not far away from a $100 million player. And it just kind of gets, I don't know, it feels like it's in orbit. So are you bothered by one, two, all, or none? David, go ahead, buddy.
I've checked out. Don't go to games anymore. If it's on ESPN, I'll watch. But I've given up. I'm not paying anymore. I'm done. That is from Bill in Livonia. I have a 5- and a 2-year-old, and it's frustrating that so many important games on weekends aren't on during times I can watch with my kids, at least partially before bed.
Well, and again, you know, collegiately especially. I mean, last year, wouldn't MSU play 6 night games?
Yes.
I mean, good, you know, you got, I'm not saying you tailor it like it's Disney, but what happened to the noon kick, the 3:30 kick? Oh, yeah, MSU's playing Friday night at 9. What? And I, again, I'm not, oh, your team's terrible. I know. Thank you. I'm aware. Water's wet. The point is the point. It's happening all across the sport. You know when I want to watch college football? Saturday. You want to put a game on a Saturday night? I'll live with it. But the night games are supposed to be Georgia-LSU. Elite. The night game should be Michigan-Penn State. Whiteout.
It shouldn't, Nebraska-Iowa.
Yeah, it shouldn't be Rutgers-USC at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday. Like, no. Greed. And you had to stream the damn game.
Mike has a great point with the cost to be a fan. To build on his point, time slots have expanded. Now the cost to be a fan means you have to always be tuned into sports all day.
Yeah.
Because there's now so many time slots.
Can I say something without being slandered? I'm asking for permission.
Go ahead.
There is never any illusion. We don't dig ditches for a living, okay? Please don't take it that way, especially if there's a guy driving home who busted his ass, like, you know, on a ladder all day. I'm just making a point. That ticket texter has it right, is that, like, football season. Football is no longer 16 weeks. It is a 25-week tour de force. By the middle of football season, you know what I don't want to do anymore? Be locked in my house watching football. That's, hey, it's what we sign up for. It's no different than a CPA. Hey, it's tax season. Believe me. But I can acknowledge what the ticket texter's saying without this whole, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. I'm fine, but I get what he's saying. Because let me tell you the one that bothers me most. And, hey, it's not like I'm delivering a sermon anytime soon. The Sunday morning football has to, that is, I think it's offensive. It's ridiculous. They're going to run 16 European 9 a.m. games this year during football season. Sunday morning is for two things, going to church or going to get bagels.
Correct.
That's it. That's what Sunday morning is. 9 a.m. now.
See, but that's part of it.
Crazy.
Because while you're right, the middle of the season, you're like, oh, here we go. We're still, you know, struggling through till the end. The problem, though, is if it was just Sunday, fine. But it's Thursday. Almost, it's Friday sometimes, then it's the games on Saturday late in the season, then Sunday, then two games on Monday half the time. That's the problem.
Then week of Thanksgiving, you're getting a Thursday night, a Black Friday, probably Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Christmas. Remember, they had it the whole week. Christmas Day, another day. Shouldn't be football. That's ridiculous. Shouldn't be football. All right, that's all. I'm yelling at clouds now. Let's go to Tim, 97.1. Timmy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Talk to me.
Mike, want to focus on the NIL stuff?
Sure.
I can get my thoughts on the others, but the NIL one really bothers me.
Okay.
More so talking about when you talk NIL, it was supposed to be name, image, and likeness, correct?
Yes.
And now it's just...
pay to play.
Unlimited salary for whoever you want.
Yes.
And that's really what bothers me. That's supposed to protect, you know, LeBron James in high school, Terrell Pryor at Ohio State. There's a handful of arguments you can make that, you know, they're not doing anything other than playing football or basketball.
Right. And I mean, think about this, Tim. Let me give you an example that'll make you throw up. So Kenny's school, Georgia, Kirby Smart with a straight face said something. My hair almost fell out of my head. They are paying kids $20,000 a month to stay committed. So a kid who commits and can't sign until, whatever, February, that kid is getting $20,000 a month to just keep his word. What?
Yeah. Let's also talk about what it's doing to the kids. These are future members of society or current members of society, and you're teaching them to sell out for money. You're teaching them that it's okay not to say what you're committed to and that you can move on and do other things where there's more money. Hey, come play football. Let's play a game, Mike. Ashton Gentry went in the draft. Let's say he was a freshman last year at Boise State. He's not playing there anymore. No. Who's he playing for tomorrow, and how much money did he get to sell out in front of his teammates and his coaches?
Yeah, and Tim, I think the other thing is, look, if a player attains a certain level of greatness, I do lean towards David that, look, if you've been through the wars and it's your last year in school and you want to cash in and go try to win a national championship, I can work my way there.
100%.
But you're right, because here's what it's creating. it's creating a real society, a generation of player that can't handle adversity. The first time something goes wrong, transfer. First time you don't get the...
He's playing at UCLA now, Mike.
What's up?
He's playing at UCLA now.
Playing at UCLA. Forgive me. I'm not picking up what you're laying down here. Who?
Nico.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wonderful point. Yeah. And again, Tim, he renegotiated his deal twice and tried it a third time in the same offseason. No, you gave your word. You got paid. Look, this happened with Keon Coleman at State. It happened with Derek Harmon. They gave Derek Harmon his money. And then Oregon said, well, we don't care. We'll double it. And Derek Harmon had a sick mom. What am I going to say? But the whole point is, when you're playing at a school, the first time something goes wrong, you don't bail. That's the opposite of what sports teaches us. That's the opposite of a brotherhood. That's the opposite of your coming-of-age story. You can't bail in life when bleep gets hard. That's the part that turns me off. It's not necessarily like players and their families getting money. It's how it's happening. And that there's no guardrails. And that there's just no accountability. Oh, you didn't get, you know, oh, you didn't get 20 touches this week. Wah, wah, wah. What are you going to do? Leave? We still won the game. Like, what the hell? So, yeah, I'm with him on a lot of that, David. But when a player earns the right, like, look, Ashton Gentry, if he wanted to leave Boise, he could have. Boise created a specific fundraising mechanism. I don't know if it was called the Bronco Club or what, whatever it was. They put, like, all the resources in it to keep him for the 1 year. But again, that's a kid who valued where he was at, who believed in him, who recruited him out of Florida and gave him a chance when nobody else did, and he actually has some integrity about him. And he still made money.
See, but the problem is it creates things. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this Ace Bailey story for the Utah Jazz.
What now?
Well, Ace Bailey.
I'm tired of Ace Bailey, and he hasn't taken his first shot.
He got drafted by the Utah Jazz, didn't really want to go there. Well, apparently...
Did he really want to go to Rutgers?
Probably not.
Because you got paid.
Well, apparently, it seems like his team was trying to get his agent's son to be one of the coaches for Summer League. Oh. The NBA had a question about it, and now he's no longer going to be that guest coach.
Oh my!
And it's like, that's what this NIL has created. I want this. And it's, hold on, this is the NBA.
You know what kills me about all of it, too? Is there's no standard for being an agent in the NIL space. I mean, a lot of these dudes are street hustlers. Do you know the rate that some of these guys are charging? Some of the people I've talked to, do you know some of these kids are getting taken to the cleaners for 25, 30%? I mean, that's the mob offers a better rate. That's crazy. Like in Hollywood, your agent might get 1%. Just as a comparison. You imagine taxes plus you sign a bad agent with a bad NIL. There should be a standardized fee. If you want to play in the NIL space and you want to be an agent, there is a flat fee. You got to pass this test. You got to have this understanding of finances. You have to have a clean record. And this is what it is. You can have as many clients as you want. But the fee is the fee. It shouldn't be this predatory thing. It's whatever. You know what? Wake me up when the sport dies. I quit. You can tell which one bothers me the most. And I apologize. All right, about 6 minutes, we get you to another Tiger win. It's just what they do. It's who they are. They'll play game two of the series tonight, but let's do the big finish, David. Or not. Okay, good talk.
Yes, I'll start off where we just finished, which was, what bothers you? All the streaming services, the cost, the price to go to games, or the salary of the athletes today? And, Mike, your problem was the price to go to games.
Yeah, I feel for the average fan because, like, going to games isn't my thing. I think the at-home experience is better. But for, you know, for people who want to take their kid or you want to have a, you know, a, take your wife, a boy, the average fan has been priced out to where you don't even feel like you're welcome. Now, there are occasionally you can get a deal. Baseball, it helps. It's, you know, maybe it's the dead of summer. Maybe it's a weekday game. The point is, like, football is what we all care about. Average guy can't go to a Lions game. It's a complete impossibility. So, yeah, that irks me on behalf of people. I got a problem with all three. I think sports is doing a good job of turning people away.
Yeah, and what's interesting is as we were doing this topic, and I wasn't able to, you know, get it to you. We had to do a summer topic there, but the timing of this story is unbelievable. So the Cardinals are introducing the Premier Travel, Cardinals Premier Travel, where you get the private flight, two nights in a hotel to a road game, a team-sponsored tailgate, welcome reception. Packages will start at $2,500 per person.
I give up.
So not only are they getting you on the season tickets, now they're going to charge you for packages to go on the road to see them.
Yeah, now they're travel agents. Okay. Sure. You know what? Look, St. Louis, a baseball crazy town. They don't have a football team. Maybe it makes sense.
No, this is the football team.
Oh,
this is yeah.
I thought this was the St. Louis Cardinals.
No,
the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
Oh, good luck. Their fan base is 49er and Cowboy fans.
Correct.
Okay.
Unbelievable. When I saw it, I'm like, the timing of this is amazing. I gotta be honest.
I mean, we all love football. The NFL is starting to turn me off. The NFL is too much of too much.
Yeah. Well, which is what came from that was enough with Sunday morning football.
Amen.
It's too much.
Yeah. It's. Sunday, I'm old school about it. Sunday morning is time for family, it's time for church, or it's time to go get some bagels. I don't need a football game at 9 in the morning.
Or you could do the summer activities, which okay. is what we just did, and you can go to a drive-in or something else that Kenny said.
I'm not repeating it. I'm not going to be a part of this. It's too late in the day. We've done a good show. Kenny, just top rope. I don't know what that was.
See, I'm the one that types up all the Big Finish stuff, and I give it to David. I don't remember. I don't think I typed that one up, David.
Yeah, that's called an editorial.
Yes.
Summer activities. I see it there, Kenny. Okay, I see it right there. But what came from that and something that interests me was you brought up the Gary Coleman lie detector, A&E.
Of all the good stuff we did today, David has cherry-picked Kenny slander and 2 minutes of a four-hour show where I said, David, you're saying there's no sports. Here's an interesting thing you can watch.
I'm going to get to the good stuff, but that, something for next week, may be watching that A&E show. Just telling people.
His wife takes a lie detector test. She did the worst. It was the worst, most cold-hearted 911 call in history. Basically, there's a little guy dead at the bottom of the stairs. And she didn't go to the hospital with him. Well, now she takes a lie detector test on A&E and bombs the lie detector when she's asked, did you have something to do with it? That's all. David says no sports, and he wouldn't accept Saratoga as an answer.
I would not accept Saratoga as an answer. One thing we did get to, and we started the show. We did this at 3 o'clock, which was the role player.
Yeah.
Why are we the role player city?
And this stems from the discussion about 8 hours of this station talking about Zach McKinstry, the TV broadcast. And I'm going, why can't Zach McKinstry just be Zach McKinstry? Really important player. He's having a really nice first half of the season. Not an all-star. But not in this town. No, this town, we're doing presidential campaigns. McKinstry 26. I don't understand it. And it's a quintessential Detroit thing. And people tell you, well, that's because we don't get stars. Boulder Dash. The Lions are loaded. The Tigers, two World Series in the last 40 years, superstar-driven teams. The Pistons, Cade Cunningham. The Red Wings, best teams. Hall of Famers up and down the roster. Don't tell me we don't get stars. This town's worship of the beef stews of the world is a bizarre, it's like a Rex Ryan fetish in this town. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and a lot of
instead of feet, you worship backup centers or career 230 hitters. I don't understand it.
Well, a lot of the feedback is that we like the underdog because we're an underdog.
I like Hall of Famers.
But from that is, you have to understand the value. Understand who you are, Detroit. You're more than the underdog.
And I'm telling you, there's a developing conversation in this town. Oh, if we traded for a bat, I don't know where we'd play them. Oh, okay. Got it. You're right. Couldn't possibly sit Jamai Jones, McKinstry, Sweeney. No. I don't need Alex Bregman or Marcell Ozuna. Totally got it. You're right.
We're getting close to Tiger baseball. One thing we started the show off with, though, and Kenny will be able to add to those hours real soon.
Oh, yeah.
Was NCAA College Football 26.
We set the over-under on Kenny. By January 1st, we'll have played over 549 and a half hours of this game. And we may have set it low because Evan discovered how much he played of MLB The Show. Oh, my.
Yeah, and apparently Kenny revealed that his number may already be high for MLB The Show this year's edition, and it came out in March, and it's only July.
I have a lot of questions, but we're out of time. But I think, David, I think we're going to get lunch.
I think so.
Plus, tomorrow's a day game. Kenny's going to be a mess tomorrow. You're going to play till 4 a.m. tonight. Listen, Tiger baseball's next. We will join you after they sweep the Rays tomorrow